I wonder, can you recall whenever you learned how to drive? Or I wonder, can you recall teaching your child how to drive? A frightening thought. So as you get into the front seat, never having driven on the road, and then suddenly you are in control. And whoever is teaching you how to drive literally puts their life in your hands. And they're there to help you and to show you how to drive the car well. As I learned how to drive, it caused many rows. Many times the car came to a halt and said, I'm not doing this. And as we learn how to drive, it's hard to drive a car whenever you haven't driven. To get the clutch in and to just slowly ease off and to hit the accelerator as hard as you can. Maybe that's where I went wrong. Although driving can be difficult and there can be hurdles and there can be different obstacles along the way. Parallel parking is just one of them. Now, I won't comment on who can and cannot do a good parallel park, but I'll say in our house I'm the only one that can. Driving can be difficult at times, and a good driving instructor will encourage you to do it well. Yes, he or she will say certain things that you are doing wrong. Although whenever you do something well, they will encourage you and say, that was really good, let's keep going. And gradually, as that driving instructor has more lessons with you, you sort of get the hang of it. As they affirm what you are doing well, as they correct where you are going wrong, they help you to become an R-rated driver. And there's a whole new sense of liberation and freedom once that hits. Although along the way, sometimes we do feel like giving up. Sometimes whoever's teaching you how to drive really feels like giving up. And yet as Christians, sometimes it can be hard in the Christian life. Sometimes there can be obstacles on the road where it's just really difficult. Sometimes as a young Christian, it can be difficult to grow. There can be different temptations and different things that we struggle with along the way. As we grow older in our Christian life, it can be hard to keep on going, to keep on with that joy that we have. But the good thing is that we don't have to do this alone. Just like we don't have to learn how to drive the car alone. God in this word give us each other to encourage one another to do things well. To encourage one another in our Christian faith to keep going, even whenever it's really difficult, even whenever you feel like giving up. God gives us each other to say, encourage one another, help one another. Maybe whenever you're fearing off the wrong road in your Christian life, God gives us those folks around in this fellowship here and outside who can encourage us and urge us. Get back on track with God. Continue in your quiet times. Continue to get to know God through His Word. Continue to gather together on Sundays, home groups, and at other times during the week. God has not saved us to live this life alone. He has saved us and brought us into a church family, into a fellowship where we can help and where we can encourage each other. The thing is, many of us would rather try to do it alone. We live in a world where we are really well connected and linked to each other. We have phones where we can call, text, tweet, do all sorts of things where we can have that connection with each other. Yet the reality is sometimes we can be more lonely than ever in this world. We can feel as though we're doing everything on our own. We can feel as though we're sitting in a car, trying to learn how to drive on our own, and we just can't get it. We just aren't going forward in this journey of faith that we are on as we come to faith in Christ. So God has given us each other. Even though we would rather sometimes do things alone, As somebody said, we're better together. And in the church, we are better whenever we come together. Or somebody has said, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And certainly, as we've seen some of the football over the last weeks, those sides which have excelled and done really well, as they come together and play as a team, as they encourage one another as a team of players, they are better than the sum of their parts. And as a church, as we come together and as we encourage one another, as we love one another, as we forgive one another, as we have fellowship with one another, the whole is better than the sum of the parts. So if you ever feel discouraged, if you ever feel like giving up, we're here to encourage you that you are not alone. Others will feel like you have felt. Others are feeling like you are feeling. But you're also not alone in that God has given you other Christians around you. Here in the local church, you, wherever your home church is, and as you come to serve on Schism, God has brought you all together. It's no accident that you're wearing a blue or turquoise hoodie this evening. God has brought you all together to help and to encourage one another. And as you serve this week, you will serve the best whenever you serve together, rather than everybody trying to do their own individual little thing. Although we do reckon, as we do want to say, that Christians aren't perfect either, and relationships inside the church aren't always as good as what they should be, and we don't always encourage each other, we don't always love one another as we should, we don't always forgive one another as well as we should. Yet God in this word tells us, here's what we're aiming for, so let's try to get this. Now, these aren't just words for your Schism leaders. These aren't just words for church elders or for pastors. These are words for everybody who will call themselves Christians. While on this side of the field, you can have a really encouraging coach who's really urging the team to play well together. Unless that encouragement happens on the field as well, unless through 1 to 11 or 1 to 15 are all encouraging one another, they won't function as well as they can, even if they have a coach on the side who's really encouraging. And it's the same in the church. These aren't just left for the pastors. These aren't just left for the super holy. It's encourage one another. So we're all to be doing this. So as we look at what God's word has to say on encouragement, and we're going to ask six really simple questions of what, why, when, where, who, when and how. And then we're going to look at Barnabas as well, who was the embodiment of encouragement. So what is encouragement? And in 1 Thessalonians 5 it says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And the word to encourage occurs over 60 times in the New Testament. And so this is something that God takes serious. It's a recurrent theme in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament as well. And there's a couple of original Greek words that we get the word encourage or encouragement from, and they really help us to grasp what it is for us. And they are parakaleo and paraklesis. Parakaleo is to call alongside, to urge alongside, to implore alongside, to exhort alongside. So as you think of the driving lessons, you have a parakaleo who is urging you to drive well, who is imploring you to do things well. And also the other word, paraklesis, is to come alongside and to offer comfort and support. Whenever you feel like just giving up, whenever you feel as though you're never going to get the hang of it, whenever you feel that you just can't go on, the paraclete is to come alongside. These two words here have a common theme of alongside. It's difficult to encourage somebody who's a way on ahead of you. It's difficult to encourage somebody who's a way far away from you. And it's difficult to encourage somebody who's miles behind you. This imagery of alongside, of walking alongside somebody, helping them, urging them, comforting them, and supporting them. And it's probably worth saying what encouragement isn't. It isn't a critical eye. It isn't talking behind somebody's back whenever you don't agree with them or you don't like the way they do things. It isn't always finding fault with the way things happen. It isn't starting a sentence with, "This isn't a criticism, but." That is not encouragement. It's not venting your frustrations with your citizen leaders online for the whole world to see. That's just not helpful at all. That's what encouragement isn't. So why do we find it so hard to encourage one another? I think it's because as we examine our own hearts, we're probably rather criticize than encourage. Because whenever we criticize and complain about something, we rise up over it. We become the judge and the juror over the way things are going on. So we like to be that top dog. We like to be God in our own flesh. That's the very essence of sin. And as we criticize and as we complain about things, I believe that's what we're trying to do. It says, "I'm better than you. How I think things should be done is better than your way." And of course, there are times for helpful criticisms. Of course, we have to see where things are going wrong and point that out to others. And yet, the recurring theme is that we should encourage, encourage, encourage. And a few times we are told to rebuke one another. And whenever we do that, let's do that in love and in respect and out of the right heart. And let's do that privately rather than publicly. To encourage is to stimulate growth. During the summer, the sun and the rain encourage the grass and the plants to grow. They encourage and they stimulate growth in the garden. And we as Christians are to encourage one another. We are to stimulate each other towards growth. Our words should encourage each other towards growth. Pointing out the positives. Encouraging those who are downcast. That's what encouraging is. So why then should we encourage one another? Well, Hebrews 3 chapter or 3 verses 12 and 13 says, "See, dear brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called a day, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We should encourage one another because we battle with remaining sin in our hearts. Our hearts can become hard towards God's word, and that's why we are called here in Hebrews to encourage each other. We also battle against the devil, and that is difficult. We also battle against the world and all the lusts and desires that we can have that are sinful. It's a very real battle that we are in. And nobody, no leader, no pastor, no elder, no church member is beyond this battle that they have with sin. So the writer to the Hebrews says, encourage one another so that we wouldn't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Life can be tough. Living the life of a Christian can be really tough at times. During this week of schism, it's going to be really tough at certain times during the weak. You're going to have kids that are tough to love. You're going to have some who are little rascals. You'll certainly have one in 3 or 4 years who has come into our house and who is already a little rascal. You'll have kids that are hard to love. Although he isn't hard to love. He's quite easy to love. Just to clarify. You will have some parents this week who will come and who will criticize some of what you are doing, I'm sure. It can be tough. Some of you won't get on with each other, and that's going to be tough as well. Serving God on the front lines is tough, yet it's great. So can I encourage you to encourage one another this week on season? That's why we should encourage one another. So that is what and why. Let's look at when we should encourage each other. I wonder, whenever we read those verses from Hebrews, did you hear what it said in relation to when we should encourage one another? It said that we should encourage one another daily. It says day by day. It says day after day after day after day. Maybe you're thinking, right, I want to go home with a checklist of how I should live as a result of coming to church. So I have to encourage somebody once per day. While that would be great, what the writer's getting here is that it should be a lifestyle. This should be a way of living as Christians, that we are constantly encouraging one another. Whenever we see somebody, whenever we gather together with Christians, we should be encouraging them every day. Whenever we are at home with our family, with our wife, with our husband, with our kids, with our siblings, with our parents, we can encourage them daily. In conversations with those that we work with or see on a social occasion, we can encourage them in those contexts as well. With our phone, we can call somebody to encourage them. We can text somebody to encourage them. We can send them a photo. We can send them a video. All these ways that we can constantly encourage each other. We no longer have to see somebody face to face to encourage them. And here's something. You could even send somebody a letter. And it's a great way to encourage them. Just say, I was thinking about you. And hope you're well. And here's some verses that I just want to encourage you with. Bible and Hebrews here is saying we should be developing this culture of encouragement as Christians. And over the last years of Hamlin Road, it's been a real encouragement as we've seen this culture rising up in our church. And over the years, there have been those who have lived a life of encouragement. Some of the older folks who we visit at home are just constant encouragers. I grew up in Ards Baptist, and James and Dory Gunning, who served God for years and years in Peru. He was about 60 years older than I was. He was different than I was. He liked things a different way than I liked things, yet constantly he encouraged. He said, Keith, it's great to see you here on Sunday. Keith, it's great to see you going on the summer mission. Keith, it's great to see the work you're doing with our teenagers. He was just a constant encourager. He lived this life of encouragement. And I'm so thankful for legends of the faith who have encouraged me in my life. And as we continue to develop here at Hamlin Road, what a joy as we seek to get better at this call to encourage one another. As we develop an ethos of encouragement, that our church would be known as a church where you go in and just everybody encourages you. What a witness to the world that would be as we seek to love one another. So that is when we should encourage, whenever we can. So then where should we encourage? Hebrews 10:24-25 says this. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, or some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These verses encourage us not to give up gathering together as Christians. This isn't just a problem in the 21st century. This was a problem right back in the days of the early church. People were giving up joining with other Christians to worship God and to hear from His Word and to be part of that body of believers. And we'll feel that temptation as well today. We'd rather have a lie-in. We'd rather watch something on television. We'd rather get ready for work. But God here is saying, do not give up meeting together. Whenever we gather as a church, this is a time whenever we can encourage one another. As we hear from God's Word, that's ultimately where our encouragement comes from. As God speaks to us through His Word, we are encouraged to live for Him. As we sing songs of worship and of adoration to God, we sing these songs to encourage one another as well as to worship God. As some of our teenagers see some of the older folks singing the newer songs, that encourages the teenagers. As the older folks see some of the teenagers trying to sing songs of 300 years ago, 400 years ago, that encourages the older folks. Whenever we sing together, that encourages us. What doesn't encourage is whenever somebody doesn't like a particular song or a particular group and they just don't sing. What a discouragement. So whether you're young or old, whatever the songs we choose here at Hamilton Road, let's sing them with gusto to encourage our own hearts and to encourage those around us. This is where we should be encouraging one another. In our lads, dads and granddads' work over the last year, we were looking at a series called Loving the Church. And the first series was a really hard-hitting. And the question was, whenever you come into church, what do you think about? Do you think about what I can get out of this service? Do you think about what I will receive? Or do you think, who can I go and sit with? Who can I go and encourage after the service? What words can I say to others in the congregation that will encourage them, that will allow us to draw alongside and to give an opportunity to encourage? As we come to church, how do we think? Do we come thinking, well, I hope somebody comes to encourage me, or are we thinking, who can I go and encourage? And usually whenever you're the one that goes to encourage, the result of that is that encouragement then comes back around. Not always, but usually. So we should encourage when we gather together as church. And from that we're able to draw alongside and to encourage. So who then should we encourage? Well, it's quite clear, and hopefully you've already got it. We encourage one another. Let's just flesh this out slightly. Encourage those that are going through really difficult times in life. Those who have lost a job. Those who are struggling with education. Those who are struggling in their faith. Those who are struggling with sickness or with other issues. We can come along and encourage them. We can also encourage those who are currently serving God. We can come and have a chat with some of the SISM crew after the service and encourage them. Those who lead our worship, those who serve on the sound or on the visuals, we can go and encourage them. Our elders, you can go and encourage them. Our deacons, we can go and encourage them. Those who run our creche, you can go and encourage them. Those who run our kids' work, you can go and encourage them. There are plenty of people in the life of a church that could do with your encouragement. There's plenty of opportunities. And usually whenever you encourage, you will just give them that little sense of drive to keep on going. So often you hear of those that were so close to giving up, and then as it's heard an encouragement from one of the parents or from another leader or for somebody else in the fellowship, we can encourage those who are serving. We can encourage those who are younger than us. We can encourage those who are older than us. There are no bounds as to who we can and cannot encourage. So those are the five W's of encouragement. So let's take a little closer look at this guy, Barnabas, who was known as the son of encouragement. And that wasn't his real name. He was actually called Joseph. And in Acts 4:36, he first comes on to this scene. And the disciples give him this name, Barnabas, which is the son of encouragement. And that was because he was just an encourager. I wonder what names you have been called. We aren't going to go into that. I was called a few quite hurtful ones throughout the years. And yet here's a guy who was known for his encouragement, that his friends called him the son of encouragement. What a legacy to have left. So that's why he was called Barnabas. And as we read earlier in Acts chapter 9, he was the one that brought Saul to the disciples. Now, Saul was a persecutor of the church. He did not like Christians. He went in and killed many Christians. He shut down worship services. He was totally against this Christianity and this way of Jesus that was rising up. And the disciples were afraid of him. And then, so he came to faith in Christ on the Damascus Road. And then he wanted to come and have fellowship with the disciples. Although they wouldn't allow him in, they thought he was just going to come in and cause them trouble. But here's this guy, Barnabas. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him. Four amazing words. Here's Barnabas, a regular guy who says, I believe that this guy's had a radical transformation, and he brought them to the disciples. He knew that the conversion was real. And then this little glimpse of the early church, I wonder who we are more like. Are we more like the apostles who were afraid to welcome in somebody who was a little bit different to they were? Of course they had good reasons, because Saul was a great persecutor of the church. But do we close our eyes and ears to the wider world and say, well, us four, no more, shut the door? Are we happy in our holy huddles? And do we not really want somebody to come in who has a different background than what we have? Or are we like Barnabas? Do we go to those who have come to faith, or to those who are looking into Christianity? And do we walk alongside like an encourager? Like this command that we are given. But Barnabas took him. Who are we bringing in our lives to church fellowships? Who are we bringing in our life to church services? As I listened to a sermon on these verses during the week, there was a pastor in the U.S. He said he's got 1,200 folks at a service in the morning, and in the evening they have a guest event where the church is all encouraged to ask one friend along. So as you think, you've got 1,200 there in the morning who are Christians, and you think, right, everybody's going to ask one friend along, so we're going to have 2,400. He says we've got 500, less than half. He was saying folks in his church weren't encouraging. They weren't bringing somebody into the church setting as they gathered to hear God's word. And I was really challenged. When was the last time I brought somebody? When was the last time I walked alongside somebody on their journey and brought them into the fence that we hold here? It's a real challenge for all of us. Who will we be a Barnabas to bring them to gatherings of believers where they can hear God's word and hopefully come to faith in him? Our second passage where we read of Barnabas is in Acts chapter 11. And he comes into a group of Gentile believers as the gospel goes from just beyond the Jews to the Gentiles as well. And I'm sure the Gentiles were doing things differently than what the Jews were. I'm sure it wasn't the way that Barnabas was used to it being. Yet in verse 23 it says here, when he arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So as he came into this gathering of Gentiles, which would have been different than what he was used to, he looked around and rather than criticizing, rather than saying, well, that's not actually the way that we do it in Jerusalem, he looked around and he seen the grace of God. And he encouraged them. As we come into church services, as we see the gospel going out, do we come in and say, I see the grace of God there? Or do we say, well, don't really like the way they do that. I'd rather they've done it the way I liked it. Do we look at new things and rejoice? Here in Acts 11, change was happening big time. The Gentiles were being brought in, and change with a capital C was happening. And here's Barnabas rejoicing with them. How was he able to rejoice? Well, verse 24 says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's why he was able to encourage, because the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate paraclesis, who is the ultimate paraclete in our life, he's the ultimate encourager in our life. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit, then encouragement oozed out of him. That's the key to how Barnabas was able to be an encourager. So he encouraged him to remain true to the Lord. Later on in Acts 13, he travels along with Paul on his journeys to the Gentile world. And we hear a lot about Paul and about how great he was and all the great things that he'd done. And yet behind him was this Barnabas, was this encourager that Paul, in human terms, couldn't have done without. We also read in Acts 4 that Barnabas sold a field and gave it towards the work of the church. So here is this guy Barnabas. He's generous with his words. He's generous with his time. And he's generous with his resources. With his words, with his time, and with his resources. What a model for us to follow. Oh, God, in our church and in our lives, would raise up more Barnabases. Thank God for those that are already here, but will God raise up more? So finally, as we close, how should we encourage? Four things I just want to share. Firstly, be encouraged by God yourself. Barnabas was able to encourage because he was full of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit is the encourager to us. And as we have time in God's word, and as we have time with God in prayer and with others, that's whenever we get encouraged. So we encourage out of the encouragement that God has poured into our lives. On our own, we won't be able to keep it up. We are encouraged at what God has done for us, and we are encouraged at what God will do for us in the future. We are encouraged by the cross, and we are encouraged by the goal of heaven. This is where we should be encouraged by God. Pray that God would help us to be an encourager, because it won't come naturally. And then three other things. Be specific. Barnabas pointed out the evidences of God's grace. So as you go to encourage somebody in the fellowship, have something that you can really say, I really like the way that you handle that. I really like the way that you do that. I really like the way that you serve here or you serve there. Have an evidence of God's grace in their lives. Be specific. Secondly, be sacrificial. It's going to take time, energy, and money to be an encourager. Take the time to call somebody. Take the time to write somebody a letter. Take the time to visit somebody. Take the time to talk to somebody on a Sunday after church. Take the time to see somebody during the week for a coffee. Be sacrificial with your time. Your diary will reveal your heart. What you do with your time will show your heart. How much time in our weeks do we put into encouraging others? Barnabas took people to the apostles. Who are we drawing alongside? And that's going to take time. Who are we drawing alongside to bring to hear the good news of Jesus? Second, money. Barnabas sold the field and gave it all to the work of the Lord. And we can encourage others with financial gifts to them. To those going off on summer trips to serve the Lord, we can give them a little something to encourage them, to help them on their way. To those who are at Bible college, to those who have lost jobs, to those who are unemployed, to those who need a helping hand, we can be generous with our finances. That's one of the reasons why we have a benevolent offering here at Hamilton Road, so that we can encourage one another through this offering to those who are going through difficult times. And then with our energy as well. Drawing alongside somebody, it's not going to be an easy ride. It's going to be draining on us, on our energy, on the physical energy, on our emotional energy, and on our spiritual energy. It will require sacrifice of the energy. And the reality is, some folks that we try to encourage will let us down, and we will be discouraged at their lack of progress. You'll always consider how slowly we are ourselves to learn and to change. So be sacrificial with our time, money, and energy. And then finally, be scriptural as well. While it's lovely to go up and say to somebody, I really like your hair, and what a great encouragement that is, let's be scriptural in our encouragement as well. Rather than saying, oh, I really like your clothes, let's be scripture. Let's share portions of God's word with them that will point them towards God and will help them to live for Him in this crooked and depraved generation. So our prayer is that Hamilton Road will become a church of encouragers, that at Schism will be a team of encouragers, and that God will raise up many encouragers in our generations. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, thank you that it's living and active. And Father, I thank you for this call to encourage one another. Pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will work in us to encourage us and then to help us to encourage others. It's in your name that we do pray. Amen.